Hello, hello, and welcome back to our Finding Better podcast. My name is John Suzuki, and I am your host. And this is a place where I like to call it a safe space. Safe space for real information. We share experiences. That's all we share. We don't share opinions. We don't share theories. We don't share academics. It's all about real life experiences of real, cool, normal people that we've been through. And it's just sharing, and it's just spreading the love. And so hopefully from some of these episodes, you'll learn something. Please share it. You know, if you're getting value from some of the things that we're sharing with you, please share it. Feel free to subscribe so you can stay in touch with what's going on. My YouTube channel podcast is Finding Better Podcast. That's my channel. And so anyway, we have a really, really special treat today. My guest today is Marsha Vogel. She is the Asian Marsha Vogel, and she and I met, and we talked about our books. You know, my book is back here, American Grit, and she just wrote a book called Training to Reign with God. And, you know, I've told you folks that I'm not here to sell anything. We don't sell books. We don't sell services. We don't sell products. But Marsha's book and what we talked about was so compelling to me and my life that I wanted to introduce her to you. Marsha, welcome to Finding Better. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you for having me. This is going to be fun.
It's totally fun. Yeah. So listen, would you introduce the audience to yourself? What is your background? What's your academic background? And tell us a little bit about the experiences that you had that led you to writing your book, because it's the experiences that we're interested in, right?
Yes.
All
yes.
right.
So right now I am a prayer minister and an author, and I help people grow into spiritual maturity. And this is Christian spiritual maturity.
Okay.
Actually, this is my fourth career, so to speak. I started out as a music teacher in the public school. And then I taught at the University of California, Fullerton for a while. Then I went into full-time mom for about 15 years.
Wonderful.
Until my oldest son was off to college. Well, colleges cost money. So I took a job. I took a job in the mortgage industry. And I really wanted to do ministry, but I needed the job. So I took the job. I took the job in mortgage, and I started out as the Girl Friday. I started off as a typist. Now, this was crazy because I had college degrees. I had bachelor's and a master's degree and experience in the schools. But anyway, this is the job that was open, so I took it.
And you know what? Yeah, it's a job that was available, and you took
right.
it because you needed to make some money. I mean,
that's right.
you do what you got to do, right? Absolutely.
And the funny thing that happened during that job is because my office was the copy room. That is, in those days, we had copy machines that were the size of a car and size of a small car, and they made lots of noise. And so they had a special room for the copy machine.
Right.
Well, since I was a typist and the copy girl, that's where my office was.
You made all kinds of noise.
I know. And so people would come in and say, oh, I need 100 copies of this, or can you collate these? And I would do it. However, we were in this noisy room. It's like this copy machine. And I would say things, well, how are you today? And they start talking to me and start telling me how they really were. None of this, I'm fine. And so I had a chance to counsel. I had a chance to pray for them. I had a chance to minister, just, you know, on a light level. But
wait. So you're in the copy room. You're the copy and typing lady, And all of a sudden you're turning into a therapist in your office. Wow, how did that happen?
Well, I had been in ministry rather informally earlier. And my dream was to be, to do ministry, but I needed a job to pay for college.
Yeah, wonderful. Wonderful.
So I just continued on. And because I have these other careers, I had been a full-time mom. People would come and say, my son this, and what do you think, and blah, blah, blah. And so we would be able to talk confidentiality in this noisy copy room. And so then while I had that job, I was able to take my vacation time and I went to Colorado Springs just for a week here, 2 weeks there, and I finished my master's and my doctorate in practical ministry.
Okay.
So that put me into the area of ministry.
And what is it about the ministry? What is it about you? What is it about who you are and your heart that led you to the ministry?
When I was a kid, my parents were not Christians. And when I was a kid, they would go to funerals and weddings. So I thought that was Christian, go to funerals and weddings. And so as I got older, I realized, no, it's more than that. Mm-hmm. And I went to, they sent me to a parochial school, which because it had a good scholastic standard. So I went there, and then that's where I learned that this guy, Jesus Christ, had something to do with being a Christian.
Okay. Yeah, he had a little bit to do with it. Yeah. Well, good.
Okay. And so that's when I decided that I would become a Christian. I would follow Jesus. And so all through my college days, I do everything churchy. I mean, I go to church, I sang in the choir, I played the organ, I went to potlucks, I joined youth groups, I did all that good stuff. So then when I was 39 years old, I had been married, I had children already, but at 39 years old, I said, there's got to be more. And I realized I would look into these testimonies. People say, I was in drugs and God saved me and I was in alcohol. And so I thought, I want that experience. I want that face-to-face God experience.
So don't tell me you became a drug addict or an alcoholic.
I said to God, what do I have to do? Do I have to become a drug addict, a criminal, an alcoholic? Or do I have to do those things before you pay attention to me? And so I didn't want to be a criminal. I didn't know where to get drugs.
You would have figured it out, I'm sure.
I didn't want to commit suicide because that would be too permanent. What good would a relationship God if I killed myself? So I thought, alcohol, that's the one. So I've heard of stories about people being silly drunks. And so I thought, okay, we're going to go for alcohol. So I poured myself a glass of wine. And it was a quiet afternoon, and I sat there, and I took one little sip of wine, and I said, I don't like the taste of this.
Yeah. Okay, there's your first message.
And I said, I'm going to have to really get used to this. Then I took a second sip, and my eyes puffed up, my throat started to close.
Okay, yeah.
And fortunately, I was smart enough to stop and discovered that I was allergic to wine. And if I didn't stop, it was going to be suicide. So no, that was too permanent. So I kept asking God, I said, what do I have to do? Then I came to the realization that God wasn't paying attention to me. I wasn't paying attention to him. And so who's paying attention? He was paying attention to me, but I wasn't paying attention to him.
Okay.
So then.
Whoa.
Yeah. So then, well, what do I have to do? Okay, I'm going to start. What do I read the Bible or what do I do? And so then it seemed like out of nowhere, I started going down in depression, down, 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 to the point where I was in bed all day. I couldn't function. I had three children to take care of. And I went from super mom to useless. And it was so bad that I had to be checked into a psychiatric hospital. So I was there. And while I was there, there was this one woman who shared the room with me. And she was a huge lady, kind of a Brunhilde type person. And she stopped me. And she says, "You have to pray for me." What? What? So, you know, I had said prayers before from a book and from a pamphlet or something like that. And so but she was too imposing. So I said, okay. So I took her hands and I started to pray something. It was probably a birthday prayer, safe travel, you know,
right,
health,
something,
healing, Thanksgiving. Yeah. I just threw it all in there. I figured something will hit, right?
You throw in enough, something's got to hit. Yeah. Something.
What are my chances, right? I'm increasing. And I just said, amen. And then I left her. And then later that afternoon, she found me and she says, "Oh, I would just want to thank you so much. I had the best night's sleep. Oh, I'm going home today." She was in for suicide.
Really?
"I'm going home today. Oh, you, thank you so much." I thought, my goodness, what is it?
Wow.
So while I was there, I met people I had always only heard about, but I never really met. So there are people who are suicidal. There are people who wanted to murder their own baby. There are people who were alcoholics. And then there are people who heard voices.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was crazy. And I thought, wait a minute, I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy. I'm depressed, but I'm not crazy. And so... But, you know, God opened my eyes to see that there were people hurting people in the world much more than I ever thought, much mm-hmm. more than I ever experienced in my life. And so I was there for three weeks, and I met all these people, and I could see what their life was like. And then when I left the hospital, I started on a journey coming back up so that I could be functional again. Mm-hmm. And it took me about 2 years. And I learned from that experience that I had to pay attention to God and I had to depend on Him in everything. I mean, how did I hit bottom? And the only way to get out of the bottom, I couldn't do by myself. Yes, I used medication, but that was temporary. I used therapists, and that was temporary. I used, psychologists, and that was temporary. I mean, I can't haul all these things for the rest of my life.
Right, right.
But God would be my permanent person to depend on.
You know, the amazing thing about that is you got exactly what you looked for. You got exactly what you asked for. And, you know, a lot of people, there's a lot of meaning in that saying, be careful what you ask for, because you might just get it. You know, you started off trying to connect with him, you know, through your wine. And next thing you know, you're connecting with him through your depression. And, right. And that's, you know, and it is amazing. It is amazing. You know, people think that, you know, one of my favorite scenes in a crazy movie was with Morgan Freeman. And, you know, it's one of those, he plays God.
Yes, I like him.
And there's a scene where he's talking to a woman who's the wife of the guy who's trying to build an ark. And he says, you know, when you ask God for love, does he give you love? or does it give you opportunities to love? When you ask God for riches, and this is these are just my words, does he give you riches or does he give you opportunities to make some money, right? And I just, it's one of those things where, you know, and that's exactly what I was thinking about when you were telling your story, mm-hmm. Was he asked him for something and he gave you something, right? But and it didn't come in the form that you had expected.
Not from the wine, no. Yeah,
but that's wonderful. So what is the path that this all put you on, that you're on today?
Well, then I realized the Christian I was before all this experience, it was the one who went to church and went to the potlucks and sang in the choir. Mm-hmm. I didn't have this new experience. And I thought, I knew a lot of people who had the Christian experience that I had before. And the one that I have now is so much richer, and it's more personal, and it doesn't depend on trappings like what church do you go to. I mean, that's important, but that's not all in all.
Right.
So I started, I started teaching classes. I got my friends, I felt like a little kid collecting all their dolls and said, let me teach you something. But I had friends, you know, who were interested in learning. So I collected them together and I started teaching workshops about how do you step into this more meaningful relationship. That doesn't mean you quit go to church and you quit going to potlucks.
That and it doesn't mean that you have more. To go to church or you have to go to potlucks.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I mean,
I want to direct you to the closer relationship with God.
Right.
So I was teaching my friends, and then I would teach one-on-one. I would pray with people, counsel with people one-on-one. And then I thought, why am I doing it this way? I mean, I can only reach 7 people at a time at most. What if I wrote a book? If I put all these teachings in a book, and that was my first book, if I put all these teachings in a book, anybody who reads the book, they'll have access to this information in this way.
Mm-hmm.
And then I discovered the people that I had been working with that, yes, but they were pretty sad Christians.
They were sad,
yes,
Christians?
They were sad because, yes, they were doing all this wonderful thing, but they were, I don't know if they were sad, but they're pretty dull.
Okay. Do you mean dull as in dull people or dull in their relationship with God?
No, dull people.
Dull people. Okay.
They didn't know how to have fun.
Okay. You know, yeah, you gotta have fun.
Religious.
Yeah.
And they didn't know how to laugh. They didn't know how to have fun. So I wrote my next book, Dancing with God, and say, you know, your relationship with God is supposed to be a celebration. You're supposed to party. When you go to church, you're supposed to party. You're not supposed to be sad and say, oh, why am I here? Oh, this is this is no fun.
Yeah.
So that's why I wrote my second book, that one, Dancing with God.
Okay.
So helping people to, there are other things besides just the basics so that you can be happy. You can be
it's
fun.
Okay to be happy and it's okay to have fun. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. There's so many people that think, oh my gosh, we're talking about faith. We're talking about God. We have, you know, it's just,
yeah.
it's a celebration of you and yes. It's a celebration of him. Yeah. Right. I, that's been my experience as well.
Okay. So that's why I wrote my second book.
Okay.
And then my third book, I realized everybody was having fun, which is wonderful. But they didn't know how to control their environment. They didn't know how to be a partner with God in controlling their environment. They always seem to be a victim of the environment. They're having fun, but they're a victim of their environment.
Oh, and, interesting.
And so that's why I wrote Training to Reign, because we're supposed to have control. We're supposed to direct where our lives are going to go.
Yes. Yes. You know,
and yeah, so that's how I ended up writing these books, and they're full of stories about my own life and what
yeah,
I've been
you know,
doing.
One of my favorite sayings is the life you've been given is God's gift to you. What you make of your life is your gift to God. And when I talk to people, I believe my experience and my faith has been such that my relationship with God is unique and special to me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And one of the things that I learned early on is that, you know, you go to different churches, they all tell you they all tell you different things, depending on who you're listening to.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say, you know, you become born again and the gates of heaven will open up. Not quite. You know, I mean, I know lots and lots of Christians who don't live as I believe
they don't have fun.
Christians should. They don't have fun. Fun is important, but they also don't live what, you know, I try to live the life that I believe Jesus wants me to live. And I try to be the person that I think the scriptures are guiding me to be. I don't go to church. I don't go to church. You know, I know lots of people who go to church who don't live it. And so, you know, it's unique to you. And I think you talk about that in your book.
Yes.
Right? You talk about yes. Not how your relationship should be, but how your relationship can be.
Can
and that's
be,
yeah
right.
and that that I that so resonates with me, because nobody can tell me what my relationship to God should be like, just as nobody can tell me what my relationship with you should be like, right? I mean, my relationship with you is mine alone. It's between you and me. But you know, so talk about that. Talk about the can part of it.
About the what?
You know, not how your relationship should be, but how your relationship can be.
Okay. But I'm gonna just expand a little bit.
Okay.
That is to say, you know, yes, I'm a minister, but I don't keep everything. I've got to be a minister. Oh, I've done other things that were fun. Your show is called Doing Better, right?
Or Finding Better. Yep.
Finding Better. Okay. So a couple of things my husband and I have done. We have been global volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
And global volunteers we've been to China and we've been to Vietnam. And what we do is there, we go there and teach English, conversational English, because the people there don't have conversational English. They can
right.
read English and begin. So one of the really interesting ones that we went in Hanoi, we worked with in a group, what we would call a think tank of the government in Hanoi. And these were well-educated adults. They can speak English, they can read English, but conversational English, they had a difficulty.
Right.
And so they would go to conferences anywhere in the world that were in English. And as long as they're just paying attention to the conference, they're good. But as soon as the break comes, they don't know how to converse and you know, do small talk or
right.
any of that stuff. So that's what we were there for, to teach them how to interact using the English language.
Okay.
So I feel that was something that we could do to make their life better.
Mm-hmm.
They would be more effective as ambassadors for whatever they were doing. And, you know, it wasn't that, you know, I've got to pray for them or yes. But my main focus was how to make their life better.
Okay.
And we had a great time doing it. We learned about their culture. They learned about our culture. And I'll tell you one of the fun things
that
happened.
So real quick, how does that relate back to how your relationship can be?
Okay. God isn't in a box.
He is not in a box.
He's not in a box.
Right.
And we always say, you know, the whole world's in his hand. So
yep.
if I'm willing to go out into the world and be a representative of him, if you want to call that, because I am making somebody else's life better.
Yep.
And I'm interacting and I'm showing the love of God without saying so, but I just love on them. Then that's expanding. That's what I call dancing with God.
Yep.
I'm yep. out there.
Wonderful.
Dancing. I'm not staying in my church and, you know, wondering what to do.
You know, I've said several times on my podcast that I believe that we all share a common purpose. And that at least one, and that is to make the world better than the day we landed on it. And, you know, I feel like, you know, if we're loving people the way God wants us to love people, if we're treating people, if we're living, you know, good lives, not good life isn't rich party lives, but a good yeah. life. I think when all is said and done, if you ask me the question, so did you do your part to make the world better? And I say, yeah, I think I did. And did you try to do your best to bring some love into the world? I think I'm going to be okay. I may be oversimplifying it, but you know, I really do believe that. And your little experience, not little, but your experience to Hanoi, that's what you did. You're making the world better. You're helping to make the world better. And we so need that. We so need that right now. And so I just wanted to share. So this is something that I have back here on my bookshelf. But you know what? Some of the things that you were telling me, sharing, reminded me of this.
Yes.
And I'm sure you've seen this. And I want to read this because there's folks that may not have heard this before.
Okay.
But it's called Footprints. And it says this. I'm going to read this to you. One night, a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes of his life. For each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and the other belonging to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand, and he noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times in his life. This really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. He says, Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I've noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there's only one set of footprints. I don't understand why when I needed you the most, you would leave me. And the Lord replied, my precious child, I love you and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you only see one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. I love that. I love that.
Let me tell you,
yeah.
I had a real life experience with that.
Uh-huh.
So when I told you about the years when I was in depression,
uh-huh.
I went to the beach and I sat on the beach. I spent a few days at a beach house, and I sat on the beach and I would be crying and crying and all that. And then I would walk on the beach every day. And that poem came to me and I saw one set of footprints. And I
That's
said,
awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So listen, the name of your book is Training to Reign with God. And reign is spelled R-E-I-G-N,
right.
Not the rain as in drizzling and water and all that kind of stuff. Training
okay. right.
to reign with God. And can you just a couple of why should people take a look at your book?
Well, because that this book tells you, you are not the underdog. You are not, let's see. Okay, the devil doesn't want to get you. The devil doesn't want God to get the glory. And so if he can waylay you because you're giving God glory in your life. You're living rightly, you're doing what you're supposed to do and all that. Well, God's going to get the glory, and the devil doesn't want that. Mm-hmm. So you're not his target. You're not the devil's target. What you are is you are the prize. God wants you, and the devil wants to take you away from God. But God's always going to win. As long as you keep following him, he's going to win. So it's not against you per se, it's really against God. So when I say training to reign, is for us to realize that we are above and not beneath. If we stick with God, we're always going to be from above. You know, the kings in the earthly kingdoms, when they reign, they're the ones who have to make the wise decisions. They're the ones who have to look and be caring about the people. Mm-hmm. They're the ones, okay, so if I stick with God, I am in a position to have the wisdom, to have the care, to know how to reach out to people, and how to take care of myself too, because if I don't take care of myself, I'm really not any good to anybody else.
And so your book talks about those things.
My book talks about those things.
And it's, you know, the thing that I read that really, really resonated with me is when you said that it's a practical book. And, you know, it's not a preachy book. It is not a fire and brimstone. It's just, hey, you know, this is my experience, and this is what I've learned. And give you that, and you're giving folks that perspective. Your perspective.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is what I've learned, and this is how I did it. You can do it too.
Wonderful. 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 Folks, the name of the book again is Training to Reign with God. Yeah. The other way. Exactly. And we're talking about it, as visually, because we're on our Zoom conversation right now. But anyway, anything else you want to add? This has been wonderful. And I've never heard the prize thing. I've never heard that you are the prize. And that, you know, it just kind of hit me funny, right? Kind of like, whoa, yeah, I am a prize. I am a catch.
That's right. You are.
Yes.
Yes. And that's why I try to tell people, you know, they say, well, you know, I'm no good. I can't. I say, whoa, whoa, whoa. No, no, no. You're the prize. You
exactly.
are the prize.
What a statement. What a statement. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Marcia, is your book on Amazon?
It's on Amazon.
It's on Amazon. Okay. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Training to Reign with God. Right. Marcia, thank you so much. This has been wonderful.
Welcome.
I've so enjoyed this. And again, folks, if this episode has resonated with you, share it. Please share it, because it's such a big part of at least Marcia in my life. And and it's a big part that we wanted to share with you.
So Okay? Let me tell you, I do have a website.
Yes. Yes.
www.marciachangvogel.com.
Marcia, MARCIA. Chang is CHANG. And Vogel is VOGL. V as in Victor, OGL as in Larry. Okay. So Marcia Chang Vogel.com.
Right. And
okay.
On there, they can see all my ministry offerings, my teachings, and anything else.
Yeah. And wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you, Marcia. Thank you. Thank you for joining me. Everybody, thank you for joining us. Have a great day. I love you, and I'll see you next time. Oh, yeah. And we're going to pray for you. Okay. So we'll just do that.
Okay,
you know,
it, why not?
It's
why
prayer
not?
Is prayer is really strong, and I'm going to pray for y'all every day. That's just what I'm going to do. So Marcia, thank you. Thanks again.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. All right. Y'all, we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.